الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه، وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الفضلاء، نواصل درسنا في هذه الليلة في شرح القواعد الأربع للإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله. وكنا قد وقفنا على قول المؤلف رحمه الله: فإذا عرفت أن الله خلقك لعبادته فاعلم أن العبادة لا تسمى عبادة إلا مع التوحيد، كما أن الصلاة لا تسمى صلاة إلا مع الطهارة. فإذا دخل الشرك في العبادة فسدت الحدث إذا دخل في الطهارة. لقد مثل الإمام المجدد رحمه الله بمثال حسي يعرف به المثال المعنوي. فالشرك يبطل العبادة كما أن الحدث يفسد الطهارة. فمن أدخل في عبادته شركا فقد أفسدها ولم تعد صالحة للاستفادة، كما أن الحدث إذا دخل في الطهارة سواء كان العبد قائما في صلاته أو خارجا عنها فإن طهارته قد بطلت، ولا يمكنه أن يستمر في صلاته إن كان يصلي أو يدخل فيها إن كان لا يصلي. وقول المؤلف رحمه الله: فإذا عرفت أن الله خلقك لعبادته، أن الله خلقك لعبادته كما قال الله تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، أي لم تخلق عبثا أيها الإنسان، لم تخلق لكي تأكل وتشرب أو لكي تسرح وتمرح، لا، بل خلقت عبادة الله جل وعلا: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. ويقول عز وجل: أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون، فتعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. فإن العبادة لا تسمى عبادة إلا مع التوحيد، وكل عمل يتقدم به الإنسان مع فقد التوحيد والوقوع في الشرك فلا قيمة له ولا وزن له أبدا، إذ لا تسمى بالشهادة إلا مع التوحيد. وأما بدون توحيد فمهما قدم الإنسان من الأعمال كالصدقة ونحوها وهو فاقد للتوحيد فإنه داخل تحت قول الله جل وعلا: وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا. إنما أساس العبادة توحيد الله عز وجل. وإذا عرفت أن الله خلقك لعبادته فإن العبادة لا تكون صحيحة يرضاها الله جل وعلا إلا إذا توفر فيها شرطان. الشرط الأول أن تكون خالصا لوجه الله ليس فيها شرك، مثل الطهارة إذا خالطها الحدث بطل، وكذلك إذا عبدت الله ثم أشركت به بطلت عبادتك. وقد قال الله سبحانه: ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون. وقال عز وجل، وهذا خطاب الأنبياء وحشاهم المشركون، وقال الله سبحانه مخاطبا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين، بل الله فاعبد وكن من الشركين. الشرك يحبط الأعمال ويبطلها. ولو صام الدهر وصلى الليل والنهار وتصدق بالأموال الكثيرة وهو مقيم على الشرك المخرج من الملة فلا تنفعه تلك الأعمال. وقد قال الله سبحانه: والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا ووجد الله عنده فوفاه حسابه والله سريع الحساب. أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكن يراها ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور. فالكفار كانت لهم أعمال، كانوا يسكون الحال ونحو ذلك، لكن هل تنفعهم تلك الأعمال مع الشرك والكفر؟ لا. أجعلتم سقاية الحاج وعمارة المسجد الحرام كمن آمن بالله؟ وقال عز وجل: ما كان للمشركين أن يكفروا مساجد الله شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر أولئك حبطت أعمالهم وفي النار هم خالدون. لأن العبادة لا تسمى عبادة إلا باجتناب الشرك. فمن شرط صحة العبادة أن تكون خالصة لله عز وجل، والثاني أن تكون صوابا على سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولهذا قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله: فلا أنفع للعبد من جعل الإخلاص والمتابعة نصب عينه في كل ما يأتي ويجر وفي كل ما يقول ويفعل حتى يكون الإخلاص له نعتا والمتابعة له وصفا وتضمحل عن قلبه جميع المقاصد والأغراض المنافية للإخلاص، ويدع البدع الاعتقادية والبدع الفعلية إيثارا للمتابعة وقد بحكينا إما قبوريا، رجل يعبد القبور، رأى رجلا يعبد صنما أمامه فأنكر عليه القبوري. فالقبوري من يعبد أصحاب القبور. فقال له عابد الصنم وكلهم على ضلال وهذا شرك. فقال له عابد الصنم أنت تعبد مخلوقا غائبا وأنا أعبد مخلوقا نافلا أمامي، فأينا أعجب؟ قال فانخصم القبور. وإن كان كل منهما مشركا ضالا لأنه يعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصر ولا يغني عنه شيئا، إلا أن القبور أغرق الضلال وكله شرك بالله جل وعلا. فإذا عرفت أن الشرك إذا خالط العباد أفسدها وأحبط العمل وصار صاحبه من الخالدين في النار، فلا بد أن تعرف أنواع الشرك من أجل أن تجتنبها. فقد بين الله سبحانه أن الشرك الأكبر هو الذنب الذي لا يغفر، إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، ومن يشرك بالله فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. وفي الآية الأخرى ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما. الشرك الأكبر من مات عليه فإنه محرم عليه دخول الجنة، كما قال جل وعلا إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. وقد قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كما في صحيح مسلم في حديث جابر رضي الله عنه، من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة، ومن لقيه يشرك به شيئا دخل النار، نعوذ بالله من النار. فالحذر من الشرك، فإن الشرك يفسد الأعمال ويبطل الأعمال، وبالأخص الشرك الأكبر يحبط العمل. فالحذر من الشرك جميل، الشرك الأكبر والأصغر، ولكن الشرك الأكبر يخلد في النار ويحبط الأعمال ولا يغفره الله. والشرك الأصغر من أهل العلم من ذهب إلى أنه داخل في المشيئة، إما أن يغفره الله يدخل الجنة، وإما أن يعذب بقدر شركه ثم يكون مآله الجنة. فكل موحد مآله الجنة، لأنه في الحديث من لقي الله لا يشرك به شيئا دخل الجنة، ومن لقيه يشرك به شيئا دخل النار. ذهب بعض أهل العلم إلى أن النكرة تعم الشرك الأكبر والأصغر، وأن الشرك الأصغر لا يغفره الله، لأن ذهب بعض المحدثين من أهل العلم، لكنه حتى ولو عذب في النار فإنما أهله الجنة، ولا يخلد في النار إلا أهل الشرك الأكبر والكفر الأكبر ونفاق الإعتقاد والإلحاد والتلبية المية. فنستفيد من هذا من كلام المؤلف إلى أن الشرك أخطر الذنوب. إذا عرفت أن الشرك إذا خالط الحدود يقول المؤلف أفسدها وأبطلها، فلا بد لك من معرفة أنواع الشرك وأنواع التوحيد، لعل الله أن يخلصك من هذه الشبكة وهي الشرك بالله جل وعلا. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، لأن هذه شبكة. ولهذا يقول الشيخ حافظ رحمه الله قد صادهم إبليس في خاخه، أي أهل الشرك، ما بل بعضهم قد صار من أفراخه. فالشرك يربط العمل ويفسد الأعمال. فلو عمل الإنسان الله جل وعلا عشرات السنين ثم وقع في الشرك الأكبر أفسد تلك الأعمال وأبطلها، وهذا يوجب الخوف من الشرك. ولهذا الإمام المجدد رحمه الله في كتاب التوحيد قال: باب الخوف من الشرك، باب الخوف من الشرك. ويراوي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يدعو الله يقول: واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام رب إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس. قال إبراهيم التيمي رحمه الله: فمن يأمن البلاء بعد إبراهيم؟ إذا كان إبراهيم الخليل عليه الصلاة والسلام يخاف من الشرك، فكيف بغيره من الناس؟ هم أولى بالخوف، أولى أن يخاف الإنسان من الشرك. فالعبادة إذا لم تكن مع الإخلاص والتوحيد فإنها غير مقبولة. كما أن الرجل الذي يصلي صلاة عظيمة يطيل فيها القيام ويطيل السجود والركوع ويحسنها جدا وقد دخلها على غير طهارة، هذه صلاة غير مقبولة، لأن الطهارة شرط لصحة الصلاة كما في الصحيح: لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ، ولا يقبل الله صلاة بغير طهور. هذا شرط متفق عليه، وهذا تقريب لهذه المسألة. وإلا فإن شرط الإخلاص والتوحيد لقبول العبادة أعظم من شرط الطهارة لقبول الصلاة، لأنه إذا صلى محدثا متعمدا فإن في تكفيره خلافا بين أهل العلم. أما إذا عبد الله مشركا فإنه بإجماع ليس مقبول العبادة، وبالإجماع هو كافر بالله، لأنه أشرك لله جل وعلا الشرك الأكبر الذي لا يقبل معه عمل. وإذا تقرر هذا الإخوة، إذا تقرر ذلك فإنه يجعل المرء يخاف، يخاف من الشرك، من أن يكون من أهله، ويفرح أن جعله الله تعالى من أهل التوحيد. احمد الله تعالى أن كنت من أهل التوحيد، وهذا يوجب عليك أن تشكر الله تعالى على هذه النعمة، وأن يخير المسلم أن يعتني عبادته أو عقيدته أو أقواله شيء من الشركيات، لأن الشركيات إذا كانت من الشرك الأكبر فإنها محبطة للعمل، نسأل الله تعالى. والشرك الأصغر كذلك أعظم من البدع والمعاصي المختلفة من حيث الجنس، وهذا لا شك يجعل المرء الخائف الراجي الخائف أن يفرح بالتوحيد وأن يخاف من الشرك. ونسأل الله تعالى أن يجعلنا وإياكم من أهل التوحيد، وأن يجنبنا وإياكم الشرك صغيره وكبيره، حتى نموت على التوحيد ونموت على سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. هذا، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه، وبعد. الشيخ حفظه الله، أو الشيخ عبد الله النجمي، may Allah preserve him. He began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking his forgiveness and seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. And he said, to proceed, O noble brothers, we continue our lesson tonight in explaining the four fundamental principles. Four fundamental principles by the Imam, the Reviver, Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. May Allah have mercy on him. And we have stopped at the statement of Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab when he mentioned, and he said, so if you acknowledge that Allah created you to worship Him, then know that worship is not considered worship or is not called worship except with tawheed. Just as the prayer is not considered prayer except with tahara, with purification. So if shirk entered the worship, it would be corrupt or it would be invalid. Just like the impurity. When the impurity enters the purification, it nullifies it. Now, so the Sheikh said, so this is the statement of Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, and he gave an example, and he likened the example of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the condition of having tawheed with it. He likened that to another example, which is an abstract example, and this is the purification. And the purification with the impurity. How the impurity nullifies the purification of the person. So the Shaykh said, shirk nullifies the worship, just like the impurity, or the minor or the major impurity, nullifies the tahara. Just how the minor impurity or the major impurity nullifies the purification. So whosoever enters or he mixes his worship with shirk, then he had nullified his worship. Any person who has he has shirk in his actions or his actions of worship, then he nullifies his actions of worship, and his actions of worship are no longer valid, and they are no longer beneficial for him. And this is just like the example of the minor impurity, when the person or the minor impurity or the major impurity nullifies the tahara. This is the same example. And the Sheikh said, and this is whether the person, in reference to the tahara, to the purification, he says, this is whether the person is in the prayer, he's already praying, or he's outside of the prayer, he's about to pray. So the minor or the major impurity, it nullifies his purification, and he cannot perform the prayer. So if it happens during his prayer, then his prayer is invalid. And if it happens before the prayer and he nullifies his purification, then he cannot pray until he purifies himself again. So the Sheikh said he cannot continue if he nullifies his impurity in the prayer. And if he was outside of the prayer, then he cannot enter into the prayer without purification. Yes? And the author, rahimahullah, he said, so if you acknowledge that Allah created you only to worship Him, if you acknowledge that Allah only created you to worship Him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I have not created jinn and mankind except to worship me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us with no purpose. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O human being, He did not create you with no purpose. He did not create you for you to eat and drink and to have fun and to run about, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to worship Him. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have not created jinn and mankind except to worship me. وَيَقُولُ أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ, and do you think that we have created you with no purpose or for no reason, and that you will not return to us? So the Sheikh said, so know that the worship is not considered or is not called worship except with tawheed. Know that worship is not called worship except with tawheed. And the Sheikh said that every action that the person puts forward, every action of worship that the person puts forward, seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is without tawheed, if it is free of tawheed, yes, and he falls into shirk while committing or carrying out this action of worship, then this action has no weight and has no value at all. So the Sheikh said without tawheed, however the person worships, or whatever the person worships Allah with, then his actions are not accepted and then they are nullified. Just like the sadaqah, when a person pays charity, and other than that, without tawheed, then this person is he's described in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمِلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, and we have come to every action or to all of the actions that they have carried out, and we have made it blown away in the wind, wasted, nullified. Yes, so the person who pays charity without having tawheed and falling into shirk, so this ayah is applicable to him. This verse can be applicable to him. So the Sheikh said, therefore, the foundation of any worship is tawheed. foundation of any worship is Tawheed. And if you acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created you to worship Him alone, then know that any type of worship cannot be considered valid or correct except if there are two conditions which are met. Except when you meet two conditions. The first one is that it is sincere. That the action, it is sincere to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it does not contain any shirk. This action of worship does not contain any shirk. So if any shirk mixes with this action of worship that the person is carrying out, just like the tahara, just like the purification, when a minor or major impurity enters into the purification, it nullifies it. Yes? Likewise, if you worship Allah and you associate someone with Him, then your action of worship is nullified. Your worship is nullified. So this is the first condition. This is the first condition. And the Shaykh said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And if they fall into shirk, or if they committed shirk, then all of their actions that they were carrying out would have made null, or would have been nullified. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the prophets and the messengers. Allah is addressing the prophets and the messengers, and He said, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبِطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and indeed it was revealed to you and to those that preceded you, if you fall into shirk or if you commit shirk, your actions would have been nullified. Your actions would have been nullified. And the Shaykh said this verse was addressing, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was addressing the prophets and the messengers. And they are free and they are far away from associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. But this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the prophets and the messengers. How about other than them? Allah said, to repeat it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Allah said, addressing the prophets and the messengers, and He said to them, speaking to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, and indeed it was revealed to you and to those that preceded you, if you fall into shirk, your actions would be null. Your actions would be nullified. So the Shaykh continued, Hafidhullah, he says that shirk nullifies all actions. Shirk nullifies all actions. So even if the person fasts, prays, and he pays charity, as long as he's upon shirk, yes, major shirk, then it does not, all of these types of worship do not benefit him at all. All of these types of actions and good deeds that he's carrying out would be of no benefit to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيَعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the ones who disbelieved, their actions is like a mirage. When the person who's thirsty sees it as water in a desert, he sees it from far away as water. And when he reaches it, he finds there's no water there. And he finds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mirage, na'am. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds, he finds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with him, and Allah he rewards him for his actions. And Allah rewards him for his actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here that those who disbelieved, yes, their actions like a mirage in the desert. Na'am, they follow actions of worship, but they are all nullified. So the Shaykh said that the disbelievers, they used to have good actions. The polytheists and the disbelievers, they used to have good actions, they used to carry out good deeds as well. They used to, for example, provide the water for the people who come to perform Hajj. In the time of ignorance, the people who used to perform Hajj, these disbelievers, they used to provide water, and they used to provide them with comfort and ease at the time. So they used to have good deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said regarding those people in Surah At-Tawbah, and He said, أَجَعَلْتُمْ سِقَايَةَ الْحَاجِ وَعِمَارَةَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ كَمَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you liken giving the pilgrims water and looking after the Masjid al-Haram, the house of Allah, like the person who believes in Allah? Do you liken these actions to the one who believes in Allah? And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, regarding the polytheist, yes, regarding the polytheist, ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it was not for the polytheist, it was not befitting for the polytheist to maintain the house of Allah while testifying against themselves with disbelief. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions here that even though they had good actions, but it did not benefit them alongside their disbelief and shirk. So the Shaykh said, so the worship is not considered worship except with tawheed. The worship is not considered and it's not to be labeled worship except with tawheed. This is the first condition. The second one is that this action has to be correct, meaning that it has to be in accordance to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for that reason, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'di, rahimahullah, he said, there is nothing more beneficial for the slave. We have mentioned this last time in the previous lesson. And he said, there is nothing more beneficial for the slave than making or putting sincerity and following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of his eyes. Yani setting it as a goal for himself. There's nothing more beneficial for the slave to set sincerity and following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a goal in front of his eyes. In everything that he commits, every action that he carries out, and every action he stays away from. Any evil action that he stays away from. So much so that until he becomes, or until following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sincerity to Allah becomes an attribute of his. Until sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jal and following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes an attribute of his. Naam, until the rest of the statement of Imam Sa'd that we have mentioned last time. And the Shaykh said, it has been narrated that once a person who's a grave worshipper, the Shaykh said, meaning here, grave worshipper, yani he worships someone who's buried in that grave. He worships someone who's buried in that grave. This grave worshipper, once he saw a man. He saw a man worshipping an idol. Yani a statue, a physical statue. So he disapproved of this. The grave worshipper disapproved of the person who's worshipping the idols. Naam? And the Shaykh said, even though both of them are upon misguidance, even though both of them, the grave worshipper and the idol worshipper, both of them are upon misguidance, but the grave worshipper, he disapproved of the action of the idolater. And he said to him, yani he disapproved of him. However, the person who's an idolater, the one who worships idols, he said to him that you are worshipping someone who is dead, someone who is buried in the ground, where I am worshipping someone who is physically in front of me. So the Shaykh said, the grave worshipper was astonished. The grave worshipper was astonished with this answer, even though both of them are upon misguidance. Both of them are upon shirk, misguidance and disbelief anyway. Yes, but the one who is a grave worshipper is even deeper into misguidance. Naam? The Shaykh said, because they do not hold any benefit or harm for them, both of them, the statues or the idols and the person who is buried in the grave, both of them do not hold any benefit or harm for them. And however, the grave worshipper is more deep in, into misguidance and disbelief. So if you know, or if you acknowledge that shirk nullifies all actions, if you acknowledge and you understand that shirk nullifies all actions, so it is a must that you know the types of shirk. So it is a must for you to know the types of shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarified to us that the major shirk, it is not forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive the major shirk. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah does not forgive shirk, and he forgives anything other than that to whomsoever he wishes. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. And whosoever associates, partner with Allah, or falls into shirk with Allah, then he had been misguided, in a distant way. And also in another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. And whosoever associates partners with Allah, then he has lied greatly upon Allah. And whosoever dies, the Shaykh continues, he says, whosoever dies upon shirk, then the Jannah, the paradise, is prohibited for him. Whosoever dies upon shirk, then the Jannah is prohibited for him. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, whosoever, man laqiya Allah la yushrik bihi shay'an, dakhala al-Jannah. whosoever meets Allah and not associated any partners with him, he enters to paradise. He will enter into paradise. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. نعم. So also it has been authentically narrated from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in Sahih Muslim on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whosoever meets Allah while not associating any partners with him, he will enter paradise. And whosoever meets Allah while associating يعني someone with him, he will enter the hellfire. So the Sheikh said, so be aware of shirk. Be aware of shirk because it corrupts and it nullifies the actions, especially the major shirk. Especially the major shirk. So, however, the Sheikh said, you have to be aware of major shirk and minor shirk. You have to be aware of shirk altogether, major and minor. However, the major, because it makes a person eternal in the hellfire. The person who falls into major shirk and يعني, he does not repent from it, he dies upon that state, he will be eternal in the hellfire. He will be eternal in the hellfire. As for the minor shirk, the Sheikh said, from the people of knowledge are those who say or who held the opinion that the minor shirk or the person who falls into the minor shirk, he is under the will of Allah, under the يعني المشيئة, under the will of Allah. If Allah Azza wa Jal, he wants to forgive him, he can forgive him. And if he wants to punish him, يعني, according to the sin that he had committed, and then eventually he will come out from the hellfire and go into paradise. نعم. So from the people of knowledge are those who held the opinion that the minor shirk, he is the person who is under the will of Allah. He is under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wishes, he forgive him. And if he wishes, he will punish him يعني, according to his sin. And after that, he will remove him from the hellfire and admit him to paradise. Because every person who is upon tawheed, he will eventually be يعني, in the paradise. Even though if he's punished يعني, before that for his sins, then he will not be eternal in the hellfire. As for the person of major shirk, then he is eternal in the hellfire. And the Sheikh said, the proof is the hadith that we had mentioned, the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, which is, whosoever meets Allah while not associating any partners with him will enter paradise, and whosoever meets Allah while associating someone with him will be in hellfire. And the Sheikh said, none of the people of shirk will be eternal in the hellfire except the ones who fall into major shirk. Except the people of major shirk will be the ones who will be eternal in the hellfire. So we benefit, or we conclude from the statement of the mu'allif, the author, rahimahullah, that indeed the shirk is the greatest sin. Indeed, shirk is the greatest sin, and it is upon you to know the types of shirk. It is upon the person to know the types of shirk. Perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal would يعني, prevent you from falling into it. So you have to know the types of shirk, because perhaps Allah Azza wa Jal, he would spare you falling into shirk. Naam. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. Indeed, Allah does not forgive shirk, and he forgives anything other than that to whomsoever he wishes. Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, the Sheikh said, our Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah, mentioned يعني, in a line of poetry, and he said, regarding Iblis, he sets to ambush the people, and he sets to ambush them so that they fall into his nets. Yes, he seeks to ambush the people so they fall into his nets, and some people fall into his nets, rather some people become يعني, like children to him. Yes, you know when they like for example the chicken has small chicklets or chicks, just like that they become like those small chicks to Iblis. Yes, so some of them fall into his nets. Yes, and some of them even become like small babies, small chicks to Iblis even further. Yes, this is a line of poetry from Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah. So the Sheikh said, so if the person worships Allah Azza wa Jal, if he worships him for يعني, for long years, for tens of years, and he falls into shirk, major shirk, then this person, all of his actions will be nullified. All of his actions will be nullified if he falls into major shirk. And in Kitab al-Tawheed, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, the same author, in Kitab al-Tawheed, he made a chapter, and he titled this chapter, Bab al-Khawf min al-Shirk. The chapter of fearing for yourself shirk. Fearing for yourself shirk. He made this chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed. And he mentioned in this chapter, and he says, when Ibrahim alayhi salam said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, and prevent me or spare me and my offspring from worshipping the idols. Spare me and my offspring from worshipping the idols. And the Sheikh after that he mentioned commenting on this verse and he says, who would يعني feel safe after Ibrahim عليه السلام, the prophet, he felt يعني in danger from shirk. So who after him would feel secure and safe from falling to shirk? Rather the people should يعني ask Allah سبحانه وتعالى more and strive more. Ibrahim عليه السلام was a prophet and a messenger. نعم. So who would feel secure after Ibrahim عليه السلام supplicated to Allah with this supplication? نعم. وقال واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام and spare me and my offspring or my children from worshipping the idols. Yes. So the Sheikh said anyone other than Ibrahim should strive even further than Ibrahim عليه السلام to fear for himself shirk. The person should fear for himself shirk more than Ibrahim عليه السلام. So the Sheikh said that any type of worship or the worship without Tawheed is not accepted. The worship without Tawheed is not accepted, like the person who prays يعني in a perfect manner, in a great manner, and he prolongs the sujood, he prolongs the prostration, and he prolongs the ruku', the bowing, and he prays like this, يعني he perfects his prayer, but he's praying with يعني without purification. He prays without tahara, then his action is not accepted. This person's action is not accepted. Even though he perfects the prayer, even though he perfects his prayer, because the purification is a condition for the prayer. Purification is a condition for the prayer, for its correctness, يعني, and for its validity. Just like يعني in the worship, Tawheed is a condition as well. For any type of worship, Tawheed is just a condition. Just like in the prayer, that purification is a condition for it. And the proof is in the hadith which is in the Sahih, where Allah subhanahu when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah does not accept the prayer of any of you without purification. Indeed Allah does not accept the prayer of any of you without purification. And the Sheikh said, and the condition for Tawheed, and the condition for the condition of Tawheed for the worship is far greater than the condition of purification for the prayer. Yes, the condition of Tawheed for the worship, or the condition of Tawheed, yes, for the worship, is far greater than the condition of purification for the validity of the prayer. And the reason for this is because the person who prays, يعني, or who carries out the prayer, intentionally, يعني, without having any purification, يعني, while being under state of impurity, and he does it intentionally while knowing that he's not upon the state of purification, the scholars, they say, this person has, يعني, he can do something to expiate that sin, because it's a sin, of course, it's a great, يعني, it's a big sin, so he can do something, there's an expiation for this. As for when the person يعني, falls into shirk, then there's no expiation if he dies upon it. يعني. If the person falls into the shirk, yes, and he does not have Tawheed when he performs the action, his action is not accepted. And there's no expiation for this. This is the reason why Tawheed is far greater condition for worship than the purification for the prayer. So the Sheikh said, so upon this, the person should fear for himself, always. The person should fear for himself, shirk, and he fear for himself that he becomes from the people of shirk. And he should be glad and happy, and also praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank him that he made him from the people of Tawheed. And this makes it an obligation for the person to thank Allah azza wa jal that he made you from the people of Tawheed. This يعني, puts a burden on you and puts the obligation upon you to thank Allah azza wa jal for him to make you from the people of Tawheed. Naam? So upon the person is to be aware of falling into shirk in action and in speech. In action and in speech. And the Sheikh said, minor shirk is greater than innovation and other sins. Minor shirk is greater than innovation and other sins. The person should fear for himself shirk and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from the people of Tawheed and to spare us يعني, falling into shirk, whether minor or major, and to يعني, make us die upon the state of Tawheed. Make us die upon the status or the state of Tawheed until we meet him Azza wa Jal. هذا وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.